All right, I've got about so many minutes here to finish this message to get started. It's about 43. So I'm going to be, can I be your pastor today?
Yes.
Good, because that's what I prepared this message to be. And so last week we talked about the Jezebel spirit, amen? And we don't talk about Jezebel spirit today. It kind of goes along with the Jezebel spirit, but it's not Jezebel spirit. You know, when I was growing up, my mother and father were very strict. I know it doesn't look like, but I was, man, you know, spoke when spoken to kind of thing and all that. And I got this phrase a lot, and this is what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I got this phrase a lot. Watch your mouth. Anybody ever have that phrase or something very similar? Your mama look over at you and say, watch your mouth, boy. Yeah, that was usually coming. I'm like the fella said he had the right to keep silent. He just didn't have the ability. And that was sometimes me. I didn't have that ability. And so my mother and father would help me. You know, there is a direct correlation between a backhand and your ability to learn. Now, I never was harmed in any way. My dad said, I'm just going to get your attention. And so my mother was pretty good at it too. But you didn't want mom to get a whooping, because if mom gave you a spanking or whooping, it wasn't no spanking. My mama never spanked her. She gave you a whooping. You hear me? A whooping. But if mom gave you one, dad gave you one because mom had to. It was just a given. You were getting two. So I want to talk to you today about watch your mouth. And each one of us have a problem with the mouth, because the Bible says that no one can tame the tongue. So that tells me that there's not a person in here, me included at the front of the line, has a problem, doesn't have a problem with the mouth. And so you know me, I put my foot in my mouth all the time with my wife. I just can't help it. So I'm going to start with telling you the story so you'll be okay with the rest of the message. I shared this with the men's Bible study on Monday. So if you want to know what's going on in my life, you ought to come to men's Bible study, men, and you go home and got all kind of juicy news. But get there this week, because next week I'm going to talk about gossip. No, I'm kidding. So last week they were at the house, and this is controlling your mouth. And so we were all over there eating with the family on Sunday, and Levi's getting so big, you know, and had these diapers and put on him, looked like big boy diapers. And so they're putting his diaper on. I said, you know, he's about time for him to have pull-ups. And my wife said, well, I don't like pull-ups. And my mouth said, it wasn't me, Eric, it was my mouth. My mouth said, it don't matter what you like. I think you ought to have pull-ups. Not good at all. Well, we're quiet. We had a time of silence. So I come to Bible study. This is why men's Bible study helped you. So we were talking about different things in the men's Bible study, and I made comment to this, and during the Bible study, the Holy Spirit really worked on me. And in my prayer time, that morning before Bible study, I was praying, and the Lord reminded me what I'd said. Holy Spirit reminded me and wanted me to know that it wasn't any of my business what we put on him. And this is what he said. Because you don't change him. So I went to Bible study feeling really holy and full of the Holy Ghost. Went back home and went by and told my wife. I told her that story. I just said I was praying and the Holy Spirit really worked on me about that it wasn't any of my business, because I wasn't the one changing him, and I want to apologize and I'm sorry. It was good. She loved on me and hugged on me. If you know my wife, she's not a lovey, touchy-feely kind of person. But when my wife hugs you, it's for real. And she leaned in and hugged me. I thought, man, this is good. I might apologize for something else I don't even know about yet. But I'm telling you, We all have a problem. And I tell you that story to let you know, I'm not talking to you alone. I'm talking to me as well. And if you'll be open to the Holy Spirit, and if you'll pay attention to this message, you're going to learn something. And you'll start watching what comes out of your mouth. Amen? So let's go to the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any one of you, are you there? That was awful quick. You're there because it's up there. They're that good. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, that's you holier than thou, people, and does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You can be all holy and all religious and do all the right stuff, but if your tongue is wild and unruly, the Bible says that your religion is useless. The Holy Spirit was just telling me, your stuff's useless if you don't get this wording right, son. Watch this in James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. You shouldn't come in. Let me just finish this, Lord. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? And a grapevine bear figs? It says, thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. In other words, you shouldn't come in here and worship a holy God and get all excited and say, Lord, you're so good, and all, and then turn around and beat up your spouse or your friends or your church family or your neighbor with your tongue. It quiet. It's usually a little more active, my brothers, my pastor friends. But today, it's tough. I'm going to let y'all preach in a minute. Y'all can pick up where we're going. We've got to learn to control this. We do. Every one of us have an issue in this area of our lives. We bless the Lord one minute and curse somebody the next. We bless the Lord and tell the Lord how good he is and all that, and then we talk about somebody next. That ought not be so. That's bitter and sweet water trying to come out of the same hole. It's all bitter. Praise the Lord. I told you I was going to be a pastor today, but I wanted you to know I'm pastoring me too. You know I get this before you do, right? And you know if I don't apply it to my life, so what? I've got to apply it to my life, and you got to apply it to your life. Christians, now listen to me. I've got a few subtitles on some scriptures, and I'm not talking directly to anybody, but if this shoe's fitting you, you just strap it up tight. You lace it up real tight because it's for you. If you're offended by what I'm going to say today, it's probably for you. Amen. I never get offended about anything I agree with. Have you? No. It's all those things that rub me the wrong way, and most of the stuff that rubs me the wrong way is not because it's wrong, it's because I don't like it. Amen. So here's first subtitle. I don't know, there's 40 or 50 points. I don't know. Christians, how many Christians I got in the house? Come on, how many Christians I got in the house? Oh, y'all just got set up. Y'all just got set up. Christians shouldn't have a filthy mouth. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off the old things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another is what Scripture says in verse 9. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. See, the old man has filthy language, filthy mouth. But he says you put that off and you put on the new man. The new man is opposite the old man. If the old man has filthy language, the new man ought not have filthy language. It says you put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man with who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's in all. If you've got a filthy mouth, if you cuss a lot, You shouldn't cuss any. But I'll give you that if you smash your finger. If you're a newborn babe. Because I did that when I was an old man. The old me smashed his finger and cussed. The new man may need a little help in that area, but I shouldn't cuss. Cuss is filthy language. Oh, my Lord, the preacher, why are you talking about that? Have you heard me? I don't know, have I? Maybe I have. Maybe I hadn't. But if you're convicted, maybe it's for you. Christians shouldn't have, Christians should not spew out. I'm looking for smaller children. I see some over here. We shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain, ever. It's not that bad for you. The F word in any context. That's so stupid anyway. You can't make a good sentence out of that. Putting those two words together with another word, that word with another word, the MF. Why would you say that? That's not Christian. Shuzitsu is not Christian. You know what I'm saying. Take the end of that off. Saying that word, you shouldn't go around saying that. Trey, it's usually better than this. It really is. We've got to learn as a Christian. The Bible says for us to come ye out. Be ye holy. Be a peculiar people. If you're doing everything else and your language is like them, you're not peculiar. It's just another way that you can. You need to watch your mouth. Anybody ever got told that they'll wash your mouth out with soap? My mama said that once, but I never gave her the privilege of actually getting to do it. I learned real quick. Miss Janice, did you ever wash Miss Peggy's mouth out with soap or Miss Barb? Now, she's been around almost a century, so she knows what she's talking about. Amen. Do you know that you grieve the Holy Spirit by filthy speech? You grieve the Holy Spirit. You, by your filthy language, grieve the Holy Spirit. Watch this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, says this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We could stop there and that'd be a pretty good sentence. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is in context. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In context, if you have a nasty, filthy mouth, you grieve the Holy Spirit. But yet we'll do that on one side, and when we have a need, we'll pray to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to help us. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit. I've been guilty of it. But if we have a knowledge of it, we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not an opinion piece. This is Scripture. Filthy talk shouldn't even be associated with you. My wife was in here. This would be one of those times I'd tell them, brothers, I'd say, go crank the truck. We're finna leave. It shouldn't be associated with us. Filthy language should not be associated that comes out of your mouth. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. So he lists those things, but he's not through with the list. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Wow. You know those jokes that you tell to your buddies? Men, you tell a off joke that you really know you shouldn't tell, but you tell it anyway because it's just the buddies. Do you know the Holy Spirit hears it? You know God hears that? That coarse jesting. Says here, you're not supposed to do that. Well, what? My day's not going to be that fun. Well, if that makes your day fun, you got serious other problems. If that's what cranks your tractor, man, you need a new battery. Something ain't right. As a Christian, you should be uneasy around filthy language. You should be, the scripture tells us, let no corrupt communication come out of you. But guess what? If you're around it, that should be uneasy for you. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:24 says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. That's what the scripture says. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, but shun, which move away, do away with, profane and idle babblings. For they will, watch this, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, listen to me, and their message will spread like cancer. And he gives the illustration of a couple of people who did that. It's Paul speaking. Vain talk, babbling, stuff that you ain't got no business talking about. Here's the problem with vain babblings. Most people want to talk about something they don't have any knowledge of. They want to tell you about this person, and they really don't know. They're passing on third or fourth hand information, and it's just idle babblings. It means nothing. But that, the Bible says, that stuff spreads like cancer. So I have a question. As a Christian, do you want to spread cancerous stuff in the church? You shouldn't. We talked about Jezebel's spirit last week. Want to be in control. Want to know everything's going on. Busybodies. I'm trying to help you grow. I'm not here to beat you up. I done told you mine. I won't ask each one of you to get up and confess your sins either, by the way, at the end of the church. We're not going to have a microphone line for you to do that. I'm just telling you, we all have a problem. That's why I told you my story. Praise the Lord. Idle babblings is gossip. You know what gossip is? Are you ready? I'm going to break it down. It's deep theology here. If it ain't your business, it's gossip. If you talk it, if you speak it. If it ain't your business, it's gossip. Ooh. This is normally where they'd shout me down. If it's not your business and you're talking about it, it's gossip. Pastor, you know, we just going to, you remember what I said last week? Pastor, I just want to, so I can pray for them. If I need you to pray for something in my life, I'm going to come to you personally and say, will you help me pray about it? You ain't got to go to someone else and then call me and say, let me pray about this. No, I'm going to tell you what I need you to pray about. Gossip grieves the Holy Spirit. If we want the Holy Spirit to be active in our church, then we got to get active and start doing some things for us, to us, so that we won't grieve the Holy Spirit, so He'll show up in your life, at your house. We're foolish if we think that we can come to a church house after grieving the Holy Spirit, having a nasty mouth, having a Jezebel spirit around us, come to the church and within a 20-minute worship session, everything's just fine and you're all good and the glory of the Lord's going to fall on you. No, it doesn't work that way. That'd be like me showing up to Glenn and saying, Glenn, I'm going to take your place as a mechanic and you're no longer here and I hadn't had any training or anything, but I'm just going to take your spot. She said, how are you going to do it? You don't have the knowledge. That you hadn't been where I've been to learn what I know. And do you think people at John Deere are going to call me and say, hey, Marty, Glenn knew a lot, but I know you know a lot more. They don't even know who I am. If they did call me and say, hey, let me speak to Glenn. I just become his personal secretary. I think that's what's happened in the church. We have allowed the worship team to become our secretary and lead us into the presence of a holy God when we don't want to do a thing. We don't want to clean up our mouth. I love you. I am not beating you up. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I have a serious problem there. Because sometimes it's not always seasoned with salt. It might be correct. Might not be. But it might be correct. But with grace. Seasoned with salt. So it adds to, doesn't take away. I like to add salt to everything. Amen. If I put salt in my hand to lick the salt, I put more salt on it to make that salty. I like salt, okay? I'm a salty kind of guy. My wife cooks something, I don't taste to see if it's got salt. I put more salt on it. It's going to need salt. I mean, she can bring me my plate and say, I'll say, bring the salt. It needs salt. You hadn't tasted it. Yep, but it needs salt. Amen? Some of us need to look that way toward Christ and say, Lord, I need more salt. I need to be more salty to the people around me. I need to have more flavor and more seasoning. Amen? All right, Lord. Boy, I didn't want to do this one, but I will. Your mouth shows others what is really in your heart. Not an opinion piece. Watch this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, the Bible says this, for a good tree does not bear... Is that the same one? Are we on the same one? Did I mess you up? I did 43. Let me just start here. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Boy. See, foul language lets people know really what's deep down in there. Foul mouth. If it comes out, the Bible says that your mouth speaks from the abundance of your heart. Praise the Lord. That's hitting home, isn't it? You know how I know it's hitting home? I could drop a pin in this church on this carpet and they can hear it at the bridge down here. It's quiet. At least say, oh, me every now and then. At least I know I'm on track, okay? Let me move on. I know it's so much fun. Try to hurry. You can sin with your tongue. Psalms 39:1 says this, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we come to church and passed out muzzles. And then had a muzzle we could send home with people after they got to church so they wouldn't talk about people. Come on, we need some spiritual muzzles placed on some of our mouths. I want to grow a church that's solid, that's got good foundation, that says we love you, and when we say it, we mean it. When we say we're going to pray for you, we're going to pray for you. I want a church that says that I love you as a brother and sister, and I'm not going to go and I'm not going to have you for lunch when we go home today. You're not going to be the center of the topic of discussion in a negative way. Exodus 20, verse 7 says this, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." You're going to be held accountable for every word and every deed. And if you're using the Lord's name in vain, and I don't just mean the GD word. Vanity of the Lord's name is this as well. Something goes wrong in your life or something happens, and you get mad and say, "Jesus Christ, just well said the GD." Because it was with the intent of the heart that the mouth spoke. It's the same thing. It's good. We've got to learn that He's a holy God. And we're His children. I don't go around talking like that to my parents. And they're just earthly and they make a lot of mistakes. But I never let that roll out of my mouth. And there's proof. Because I'm still living today. I would never talk about my earthly father and mother that way. Why don't we talk about our heavenly Father that gave His life for us? That we could spend eternity in Him if you put your faith and trust in Him. Why would we say that? Why would we blame Him for our stupidity? He didn't slam your hand in the door, you did. No need to call Him names. I remember one time we were at Cleveland Church of God. We had a youth rally, and this is back before young people, you used to have a key, and you put it in a little hole on the door, and you'd open your door if you locked it. That they wasn't one of these key fobs. You actually had to. And so I remember this young girl. Her brother worked for my father. And so we all went to church together, and we had a youth function thing. And it was in the summer, and we were all inside, you know, just talking and visiting before church started. And we got to noticing that this young lady, I won't call her name because we're on the internet, she still lives in that area. We got to noticing that she wasn't around. Where's she? Because she was always right in the middle of everything. She was just fun to be around. You know, one of them, you know, just. And we got, where's she at? I know she's been here. Well, her brother had given her the keys. He had left something in the car. So she went out, unlocked the car, pulled the key out, opened the door, locked the door, got something out, and shut the door. But it shut on her hand. She dropped the keys in the process of this. Couldn't get the keys, hand in the door, and she's outside in the parking lot with her hand in the door. Just, I mean, fingers are turning kind of blue and red on the inside. You know, it's kind of painful deal. You know how us kids are. Did you cuss? Did you say anything bad? Come on, I do that now to some of y'all. Did you cuss? Somebody say, yeah, I did. She didn't cuss. She said she didn't. I wasn't there. She was a good young lady. What I'm saying is Jesus didn't shut the door on her hand. I mean, that door on her hand. Jesus don't make you cuss. Jesus don't make you hit your hand with a hammer. Jesus don't skin your knuckle and say, I'm just going to see if they're going to cuss. That's not the way this thing works. Well, that happened. He's just seeing if I was going to cuss. No, He's not. He trusts you enough for you not to cuss because He loved you. He doesn't have to do things to see how you're going to react. He just trusts you. Are you trustworthy with your mouth? When you come to church, are you trustworthy? When you go home, are you trustworthy? I started to say, are you cussworthy? Don't answer that. Are you trustworthy with your mouth? Psalm somewhere in Scripture it talks about there's something on you that gives you a problem. You ought to cut it off. Maybe we ought to have some spiritual surgery. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, this is so good. So how do we get past this, Pastor? I have a nasty mouth. I have a nasty mouth. I tell jokes when I shouldn't, and I know I shouldn't tell them, but it's just so funny. It's not that funny, really. You know, funny, nasty jokes are only funny to nasty people. Think about it. Funny, nasty jokes are only funny to nasty people. So here's the deal. Not that I'm anything, but the same words you say out there, would you say around me? You say, oh, yeah, I would. Okay, good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you say them if Jesus was here? Would you get to heaven, stand before the Lord, and roll out a bunch of words? Say, now look here, you. I'm here. Praise the Lord. You. No, you wouldn't. Sounds foolish, don't it? Do you know that the presence of the Lord is everywhere you go if you're a Christian? It's with you when you're alone. It's with you in your car. It's with you on your work, on the lawnmower, wherever you are. He's with you. The triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent that's with you today. He's with you. Why are you doing it now? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you do it. Did you hear what I said? I'm your pastor right now. The reason you cuss and the reason you tell nasty jokes, the reason you gossip, because it's abundance of your heart. It's what the Bible says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you still love me? Okay, so let me help you with this. There was three people. Amen. So how can you get past this? You start this way. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your mouth. Watch this. In Psalms 141, verse 3, the Bible says this. It says, set a guard. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. And keep watch over the door of my lips. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your language. Do you need help with your language? I'm personally, yes. Now, I don't cuss. I don't cuss. Anybody been around me? You've worked with me a lot. I don't cuss. Arvell's been around me quite a bit. I just don't cuss. I'm not a cusser. I got saved from cussing. I was the guy that make a sentence out of cuss words when I was a kid. I roll them out with the best of you. I got saved from that. That's filthy language. And I got saved from that. Remember a few years ago, helped me, and I burnt my hand on that muffler off that, praise God, whose was that? That was Chester's. Chester, tell him I'm preaching about him today. He let me borrow a backhoe, and I was getting off, and I thought it was a handle, and I reached and grabbed that thing after running, and it just, oh, hallelujah, and I come off of there, and it was. I didn't cuss, though. You shouldn't cuss. There ought to be some basic stuff we get out of the way right up front, church. Come on. Ought to be some change. You may have a nasty mouth come to this altar this morning and get saved. You may let a couple things slip here for the next few days, maybe a week or two. But there ought to be a considerable difference in your language. And not, amen, not 40 years down the road, Lord's still working on that. No, this is not a 40-year program. This is not a 40-year step program. You get saved, you get right, you start seeking the Lord and ask Him to set a guard over your mouth and keep a watch over the door of your lips. You think He's going to take Him 40 years to do that? No, it won't. Praise the Lord. I got one more verse, and I'm going to let you go because you just had all you can stand. It's the most excited they've got. When usually happens when I say we're fixing to get out, they get all excited and everything, and that makes me want to preach more. Proverbs 21:23 says this, whoever, who is that? Whoever, it's kind of like getting saved, whoever calls on the name of the Savior. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever, let's read it again out loud. Whoever guards his mouth and the tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if we could come to the church and we could absolutely tell anybody in this church body, right, even if you don't really know them that well, if you could walk up to them and say, would you pray for me about a very secret thing that's going on in my life? And you knew, without a shadow of a doubt, it would go no further. 5 years down the road, you could go back to that person and they could tell you before God, I've never told a soul, how's your problem? The reason we don't have unity in the body today is because of our mouths. Because if I come to you and I need you to help me pray about an issue that's very private maybe in my life, by this afternoon, people are calling that had no knowledge that maybe I didn't want them to know and saying, I just want you to know, we're just praying for you. I want to ask, well, how did you know? My wife used to get really upset at me a lot. Someone would come to her in the back and say, did Brother Mark tell you about my wife's like, probably, but I don't remember. Well, it's so-and-so, and she comes home, she'll say, you got to start telling me some stuff because people ask me. I said, well, they didn't tell me I could tell you. So I just assume that you think I can tell my wife. I tell people a lot of times I've had people pray. I said, you can tell so-and-so. You can tell your wife. But this is keep it there. Church, if we get this under control, and James says nobody can control it, so I'm not telling you. I'm telling you, we got to tone it down. Surely nobody's cussing in the church house, are they? I don't know, are they? You tell me. You're not around me. That don't mean you're not cussing in the church house. Preacher, are you serious? As a heart attack. If you'll cuss out there, you'll cuss in here. You know why I know that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It doesn't say where you're at. The mouth speaks. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're out there and it's in your heart and you're in here, it's still in your heart and it's going to come out of your mouth. You may not know it. I've been around people, boy, be talking to them and they'll be talking and they'll say three or four cuss words and not even know they have cussed. Man, I love you. We got to clean up our talk. We got to clean up our mouths. We got to clean up our gossip, our idle babblings. Pastor, what's going on? Well, you're gossiping now. It's none of your business. Nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. I teach you sometimes in advance of things that's happening or could happen. So we can be a church body, a family, neatly fit together. And just because you don't perform or do what I do, or I do what you do, or I react like this, that doesn't mean you're not part of the body. The Bible says that we're all members, many members knit together, but we all have different functions. So it's time for us to come together. Stay in your lane. That's what we talked about last week. Stay in your lane. Amen. Okay, I'm going to close. Do you love me? Is the next question. You going to pay me next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Amen. I already got the check for this week. I'll just want about next week. Amen. I love you. I want you to stand with me all across the building. I could ask you, if you got a nasty mouth, run to the altar. But there ain't nobody come to the altar today. I am not that crazy. You ain't coming. Can I get a witness? You ain't coming. I understand that. Am I here to embarrass you? No. But I am here to point out some things that you and I both, I told you earlier, me at the front of the line, we got issues. Now, you ain't going to ever hear me cuss. I don't cuss. I just don't cuss. But I need to guard my mouth. And we hurt the ones we love with our mouth. And we're brothers and sisters in this house. And I don't want you hurting my brother or my sister. Amen? Let's love one another. Let's edify. Let's build up, encourage. Let's carry one another's burdens instead of adding another burden on to them. You can do that by your talk. Would people think you're talking about them? Guess what? That's another burden on the burden they already got. You ought to be able to come to this house and say, they're not going to look at me any different, judge me any different. Here's what I am. I got issues. I brought them in. I shared them with my brothers in confidence. Maybe it's not a confidential thing. You may say, I just got issues. Amen. Glory to God. I got more issues than most of you. Amen. But one of them's not a bad hair day. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Here's how I want you to pray. Something on this line. Pray for your mouth. And pray for the abundance of your heart. That what's in your heart would be changed, because that's what's going to come out. As the psalmist said here, said, put a guard on my mouth. Watch my lips, Lord. Help me to watch my lips. Farmers, I love you. Oh, it's aggravating with them people out there. Glory to God, them heathens. They just needed a good cussing. They really didn't. Lord's building on you, working on you. So be patient with them. Let good seasoned salt come out. Amen. And teachers in this church. Amen. I want to choke a few myself in the name of Jesus. Tell God they died. But you can't do that. Amen. Come on now. So I want you to pray like this. Lord, set a guard over my heart, over my lips, over my mouth. That what comes out, Lord, would be acceptable to you. So let's just pray something like that. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I didn't want to preach this message no more than these people wanted to hear it. But Lord, I felt an unction to preach this because it is part, Lord, of your word. And so, Lord, I pray that today, me, Lord, that you'd set a guard over my mouth and over my lips. And Lord, if there's something in my heart that causes me to gossip or curse or have idle talk, coarse gesturing, nasty jokes, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that I'd lose every memory of every nasty joke that I've ever heard in the name of Jesus. Everything that is not uplifted to you, Lord, I pray that I'd just lose that memory of that, Lord, that I can't remember a joke if I wanted to tell it that might be nasty. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. I mean that, Lord, my heart. If there's anything in me like that. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch each and every person in this room. Lord, let this be a tough but serious and needed message, that we may grow toward you, that we may experience you in a different way, that we wouldn't grieve you. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I pray you'd just minister to us and help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.